In our gospel passage today, we hear about the passion of Christ according to the Apostle John, who's also referred to as John the Evangelist, since he wrote this particular gospel. In this gospel, it highlights a particular character and given more attention to someone that the other gospels don't quite give as much attention to, and that is Pontius Pilate. As I was praying with this passage, I was pondering the dilemma that Pilate found himself in. It seemed like he was between a rock and a hard place. He seems like he's a man who wants justice, but also order and peace. But here he's presented with a situation where it seems like he can't have it all. It seems like whatever he chooses, it's not going to work out to have all three of these things. He's presented with Jesus, who's considered a criminal, but he finds no guilt in him. In fact, he repeatedly says that in our gospel passage. But he also knows, like we heard when we heard the Passion according to Mark on Palm Sunday, that the chief priests and the scribes were jealous of Jesus. They were envious of his popularity. They didn't like him, and he was handed over because they wanted him put to death because of that. But here, we see he's repeatedly trying to find a way to release Jesus, whom he knows is innocent, but yet also try to maintain order, try to maintain peace. Now, normally, the Romans are not there in Jerusalem like they are at this time. And they're there because of the Passover feast, the celebration of how they were set free from the slavery to the Egyptians. And so the Roman Empire knows that when there's a large group of the Jews gathered, unfortunately, a lot of times they like to throw a revolt and try to overthrow the Roman Empire in that area. And so Pontius Pilate and a bunch of soldiers are there just to try to maintain peace and justice and order and prevent any possible revolution. And yet here, Pontius Pilate finds himself in a dire situation. Jesus is innocent, so he doesn't want to condemn him, but not condemning him could lead to the very thing he's trying to prevent, a revolt, a revolution. We see in this passage, every time Pontius Pilate is confronted with Jesus and the situation, he tries to release Jesus. When they first bring him to Pontius Pilate, he tells them to take care of it themselves. But they didn't want to do that. They wanted him to do it. At one point in our gospel passage, they say, well, we don't have a right to kill him. And that's actually one of the rules of the Roman Empire. As one of the ways that they sustain their power, they claim the right of capital punishment for themselves. We might recall in other places in sacred scripture, the Jewish people are quick to be willing to stone someone. Why would they do that then, but not now? Well, it's because the Roman Empire wasn't anywhere around in those other situations. No one would see it and they could get away with it. But here, when there's so many soldiers around and they know the Roman Empire's rules, they can't do that. Besides, Jesus needs to be crucified in order to fulfill Scripture. And crucifixion is considered, at that time, the most painful way a person can die. It's specifically designed to be painful. A way of causing continuous agony and suffering. It's one of the ways the Roman Empire deters people from upsetting them. So Pontius Pilate has a conversation with Jesus, and he's trying to get information, trying to make it so that he can release him. But we notice that Jesus isn't exactly cooperating. But he still finds no guilt in Jesus. And so he uses the custom, like, okay, typically I would release somebody, so how about I release Jesus? How's that? But the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees who were opposed to our Lord had stirred up the crowd to ask for Barabbas instead. So Pontius Pilate finds himself, again, still stuck. How does he maintain peace and order, but also justice? So he talks to Jesus again. And this time, Jesus doesn't really give him much to say. He doesn't talk to him much. He was scourged, but twice Pontius Pilate declares that Jesus has no guilt in him. And he tries a third time to release him. And then the Jewish leaders say something very interesting. They say, as Pontius Pilate is trying to say, do you want me to release the king of the Jews? They say, we have no king but Caesar. Like, whoa, wait a minute, hold on here. Isn't the Roman Empire the very people you're trying to throw out? Isn't that why you had revolution and revolt, one after another? And now you're claiming the Roman emperor for yourself? This shows how much they hated Jesus. They wanted the Roman Empire out. They wanted it overthrown. But they'll claim that over Jesus. Caesar makes himself out to be not only a king, but he makes himself out to be a god. And they choose Caesar. They choose a false god over the one true God. And Pontius Pilate, in his weakness, decides to sacrifice justice in order to maintain peace and order. And so he has Jesus crucified. Jesus finds himself in a dilemma as well. If we recall what happened in the agony of the garden, he asked the Father if it be possible to remove this cup of suffering from him. But then he follows up and says, not my will, but your will be done. He finds himself in a difficult situation. To do what is right is going to cost him a lot. It's going to cost him everything in his humanity. He knows very well what's about to happen to him, as we heard in our gospel passage. He knows what the soldiers are coming for. He knows the suffering he's going to have to endure. And yet when Peter draws his sword and tries to fight to protect Jesus, Jesus tells Peter to put his sword away. Jesus allows himself to be arrested. He didn't have to do that, but he knew it was the will of the Heavenly Father. He knew what was right and just. He knew what he needed to do to fulfill prophecy. He knew what he needed to do to bring about the salvation of all of humanity. And so he didn't try to avoid it. In those conversations with Pontius Pilate, he wasn't very helpful. Pontius Pilate is trying to get him to share something, give him some reason to let him go. But Jesus doesn't give him much to go with. He doesn't tell him much, because he knows what he needs to do. And so he allows his suffering. He allows the brutal beating. He allows the ridicule. He allows the scourging. He allows the crown of thorns. He allows himself to be forced to carry the cross. He allows himself to be crucified. He chooses it. Why? It's the will of the Heavenly Father. It's the way in which he reveals and expresses his love for all of humanity. If we wonder how much does God love us, all we have to do is look at a crucifix. That's how much God loves us. That he's willing to take on the punishment for all of the sins of all of humanity for all time, while simultaneously freely choosing to make this gift of his life to the Heavenly Father. A perfect gift of love. One that was a life of obedience, a life that was sinless. Jesus shows us that even though sometimes it can be very costly to do what's right, that's what we need to do. But he also shows us in the agony in the garden that we should pray for strength. That when we're faced with these difficult challenges, to turn to God for assistance. He went to the Heavenly Father and asked for help. He surrendered to the Father's will. He was seeking the support of the Heavenly Father to do what he needed to do. We see these two examples, Pontius Pilate, Jesus Christ. We see they're both found in dilemmas. Do what is right and difficult, or do what is wrong but easier. In our lives, we can find ourselves in similar situations. We could find ourselves in a moral dilemma. Do I do this because my friends are pressuring me into it? Or do I resist because I know I'm not supposed to? Do I choose to follow God or do what's easy in the moment? Jesus calls us to do the right thing even when it's difficult. And we can follow his example by turning to the Heavenly Father for assistance. We can reach out with our hearts and our minds for his forgiveness, his mercy, if we've fallen astray, if we've done what was wrong. We can ask him for the assistance we need to choose what is right. And so, brothers and sisters, let us consider in what ways we can better follow our Lord, even though it may be difficult, as we prepare to venerate his cross and receive him in Holy Communion in the most holy Eucharist. I just wanted to add that when we do what is truly right, then the rewards are eternal. The blessings and the joy are endless and boundless. And that makes doing what's right truly worth it. God bless.